In fact, I no longer need to effort him. I have him. We are joined right now by an ESPN senior NBA insider, host of the Woj Pod podcast, New York Times bestselling author. He's also been named the National Sports Writer of the Year three times by the National Sports Media Association. Game three of the NBA Finals between the Heat and the Nuggets is tonight in Miami, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Coverage begins with NBA Countdown at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Woj joins me once again. Woj, great to have you in the jungle. What's up, dude?
Jim, great to be back with you. How are you?
Oh, man, it's so good to hear your voice. I'm doing great. It's great to have you back. Let me start with the latest. What are you hearing about Tyler Hero and his availability? He's been out, of course, since he broke his right hand in the first round of the playoffs. Is there any update regarding his availability for tonight's Game 3 or even the rest of the series?
Yeah, Jim, right now he's still ruled out for Game 3. There had been some hope that he might be back as soon as Game 2. And then Game 3, and I think as he started to ramp up his workouts and take on some contact in those, that right hand has not felt right yet. He's not been cleared yet to return. There's still some discomfort there. And so, you know, he'll continue to work out and see if he can get to a place pain-free enough to be able to be cleared to play at some point in the series.
Right, Woj, what about the flip side? Michael Malone really lit his team up for its effort in Game 2. How do you expect the Nuggets to show up tonight in Miami?
You know, he does that a lot. I think it was a little jarring to hear it in the NBA Finals. You don't normally hear a coach go at a team for effort in the NBA Finals, or really even deep in the playoffs. But that's the relationship Michael Malone has with this group. He has been with this core for a very long time. Typically, they respond really well to it. They have such great internal leadership with the Nuggets, certainly starting with Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray. This is a team that is pretty self-motivated, and I would expect them, you know, they don't put many clunkers back-to-back together. You've seen them in the playoffs, certainly this year, respond when they've had a bad performance. And that was a – listen, they had a double-digit lead in the second half of Game 2. You thought that they had taken Miami's punch, and Miami just keeps coming and coming. And, listen, this is certainly for Denver to be able to come down in Game 3 and get – control of this series again. This is a big one for them.
No doubt. Adrian Wojnarowski joining us, Woj. No doubt about that. When you win Game 1 and you're up by 15 in Game 2 and you've got your hands around their throat, you better choke them out, because we all know about Miami. You better kill them when you get the chance. If you let them stay in the fight, they're going to do some real damage. We know this. If the Heat pull this off, Woj, are we no longer just considering Eric Spoelstra one of the best, if not the best in the business, but an all-time great if Miami pulls this off?
Jim, I already thought Eric Spoelstra is one of the all-time great coaches. To do it with so many different kinds of teams in Miami, did it with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and doing it in just a number of different incarnations of this organization. And listen, the NBA is a little more difficult to measure sometimes because you're at the mercy of the talent you have. College basketball, you can go out and recruit talent. Certain programs are always going to be good. But in the NBA, you know, there's so many great coaches who will never win a championship because they don't have championship-level teams. But I don't know that there's anybody who has he's won every kind of way. And to do it over the period of time he has, especially, you know, at a time with 30 NBA teams, you look at players – you know, who are dominant, coaches who are dominant in different eras when there were fewer teams. But in this time of player movement and rosters turning over, to see the consistent greatness of Eric Spoelstra, I would say this: if you made every coach available in the NBA, all 30 teams, either they had a draft or they could go out in free agency and sign him with no salary cap, Eric Spoelstra would be number one. He'd be the highest paid coach in the league. He'd be the most pursued coach in the league. Everybody would fire the coach they have to go get Eric Spoelstra. And that's been true for years. That didn't just become true in this postseason.
That's enormous praise, and you, my friend, are not wrong. I agree with you. Speaking of player movement, Woj, how do you view the report that Kyrie Irving wants the Mavericks to explore trading for LeBron to form a big three in Dallas with Luka? How do you see that report?
Every great player in the league wants his GM to go get great player X, great player Y. It's just not that simple. And especially a player of LeBron James's caliber and who he is, he's not interested in that. And so it's not AAU basketball, right, where you can just leave your team and go pick up for the next weekend with another team. Dallas doesn't have certainly the wherewithal to make a trade like that, and LeBron James doesn't have the interest in it. And listen, we could go down the list of Damian Lillard, Joel Embiid, Trae Young, name the player, Mikal Bridges and Brooklyn. We can name every player in the league. They would love to have LeBron James, and all the great players in the league want to play with other great players. It's even more complicated now because of the new collective bargaining agreement. Especially having three max players is really, really difficult. If you want to have any other flexibility in your roster, it's going to limit you to really be able to build out any kind of a roster. And so I think when next season starts, I think LeBron James will be in L.A., and I think very, very, very likely Kyrie Irving will be in Dallas.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Woj, I agree with you. I don't see any way, I don't think for a second that LeBron wants to be with Kyrie in Dallas. However, is there any part of LeBron that would want Kyrie in L.A.?
Well, listen, I certainly think LeBron James has had interest in reuniting with Kyrie Irving, but there's just really no way for it to happen unless Kyrie Irving was willing to take a substantial pay cut to be in L.A. No indications he's willing to do that. He could have done that last summer with their by opting out of Brooklyn, signing Fornix into the Lakers exception. He didn't do it then. He's poised to get a huge payday in Dallas. They're going to pay him. They made a significant surrendering of assets to get him. And so, listen, I think for the Lakers, you saw the moves they made at the trade deadline. That's going to be the shell of their team. That doesn't mean they're not going to make some moves. I think there's conversations that will continue to happen with D'Angelo Russell on an extension there. Is there a number and years that makes sense for both sides where that could happen? I think those talks will continue, but I think the days, and I think the Lakers have a lot of reticence about having three max player star team. It didn't work with Russell Westbrook. And again, you just lose all the roster versatility that they have. Like, you want to keep Austin Reeves. You want to keep Rui Hachimura. You got these really good young players who are restricted free agents who you can re-sign and keep. And you're going to let all those guys walk to gut your roster to sign Kyrie Irving. That's not been the direction the Lakers want to go with this.
Preach. It ain't broke. It ain't broke. In fact, they fixed it at the trade deadline. I agree with you 100%. Woj, before you go, let me ask you about the commissioner, Adam Silver. He stated that he was going to hold off on the announcement on the league disciplining Ja Morant until after the NBA Finals. Whenever that decision is made, what's your sense of how severe that punishment might be?
You know, I think a good benchmark to look at on this in terms of like maybe what the minimum would be, and I think it'll probably be more than this. Remember, players cannot be voted onto all NBA, get those major postseason awards unless they play a minimum of 65 regular season games. So if the league suspends him for 18, he's already been disqualified from that. I don't think that was put in to be a benchmark for suspensions because there's so few that come along that are going to be of this length. They don't come along very often. I would be shocked if it was less than that, Jim, but I think whatever the number is, and I think Adam Silver doesn't say anything by accident. When he came out, you know, first the night of the draft lottery with Malika Andrews right before the draft, when he talked about it, and then again, he had the news conference at the beginning of the finals. It was no accident he talked about how he talked about the situation and his disappointment in Ja Morant and the fact that he had, certainly gone back on his word that he would and his assurances that he was going to change his behavior. They've been investigating Ja Morant on a number of different issues for well over a year. They're well documented. This is obviously the first punishable one. I don't think when this is over, Adam Silver is going to allow anyone to say, hey, he went light on him again. And if that's the criticism of the first suspension late in the season, I don't think that happens again. So I do think it's going to be significant. I don't think it's going to be the whole season. I would be shocked if it's half the season. But I think you start working backward from there, and you can make a case, in a range from, let's say, again, 18 games takes him out of all the postseason awards, 18 games north into the 20s, maybe something that starts with a 3.
All right, so Woj, I so appreciate all your time, especially today. How about one quick thought on this? I'm a big Frank Vogel guy. I think he's a damn good coach who still does not necessarily get the respect he deserves. You reported that he ultimately beat out Doc Rivers and Suns assistant Kevin Young for the gig there. Ultimately, why did the Suns go with Vogel? And is it the right choice in your mind?
Yeah, listen, I think Frank Vogel's an outstanding coach. You've seen him have the best defense in the league at two different places, both Indiana and the Lakers. They're putting a good staff around him. Kevin Young, who has a respect, a great relationship with Devin Booker, that's important. And then David Fizdale coming back in, and there's trust with Fizdale and Vogel. They were together with the Lakers, and I think that's very helpful for him. Listen, I thought you could make the case for any of the three. There's not always a wrong answer, but I think for Frank Vogel, really hit it off. I think in Philadelphia, he was a very serious candidate. I think they looked really hard at him before they went to Nick Nurse. And so, I thought they fired a great coach in Monty Williams, who obviously landed on his feet in Detroit with a historic contract. I think you're just going to see in this league, Jim, more and more, it's going to look a little more like the NFL, where you're going to maybe see a little more turnover in coaches, and teams are now really willing to pay for guys they think are difference makers, guys who are championship coaches. And again, Frank Vogel, they're going to have to build out this roster. It is there's a real lack of depth. I got to decide what are the futures of Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. But you have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant. And so to me, this is a really important summer. Never mind who the coach is. Can they get back some of the depth? And maybe that's through a trade with Ayton. What does it look like with Chris Paul in the last year of his deal? So a lot of work to do on that roster before you could ask a coach there to go win 7 games in the NBA Finals.
That's it.
Win 4 games in the NBA Finals.
Right. I was going to say, speaking of the Finals, Game 3 tonight, Heat Nuggets. It's in Miami, 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC. Coverage gets underway with the NBA Countdown at 8 p.m. Adrian Wojnarowski is an ESPN senior NBA insider. Woj, appreciate you so much. Great to have you on the show. I know you made time for it, and you were really gracious with your time. Woj, appreciate you. Thanks so much.
As always, Jim, always an honor. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
My man, you too. Adrian Wojnarowski, the best of the best. Nobody like him. Great to have Woj on. Love talking to Woj.